Coming up on this premiere edition of Patriots This Week.
Welcome to the celebration of your five-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots.
It was a night to remember, a celebration of a championship season, 19 games to glory.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Yet it is because of his success that Bill Belichick does not believe the past is a prologue.
None of us have done anything. We all have a long way to go. We all have a lot of work to do, so we'll see how it goes.
It did not go well in game number one. KC's Alex Smith and a rookie named Hunt Kareem the Patriots.
To the 15-10, chased by Butler, and into the end zone.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
And on a night that began with a celebration of the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, the New England Patriots had to concede the outcome even before the two-minute warning as they fell to the Kansas City Chiefs, surprisingly, stunningly, in fact, in the season opener. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy alongside my radio partner, Scott Zolak from 98.5 The Sports Hub, and, of course, three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Chatham. And, guys, as we look back on the season opener for the Patriots and Chiefs, do we start with the ending as the Chiefs ran away or the beginning as the Patriots missed some opportunities?
I want to start with the beginning, and the beginning was the offense. I'm going to let Matt take care of the defense. You know, you had a chance there early. I think you missed Dwayne Allen on a wide open throw down the left sideline. The quarterback never seemed to find a spot. When I say find a spot, that spot 5 yards behind the center where he's going to be comfortable. I thought the offensive line really protected Tom Brady well in this game. They rushed three, they dropped eight, and they did what the Jets did 6 years ago. They muddied the middle of that field and they forced you to go long and down the field. And those aren't high percentage throws. And then you still found a way that first drive to maneuver it all the way down the field, strike first, you take a 7-0 lead, and you can still come out and say, boy, the quarterback isn't playing real well. You know, and then you had another chance off a turnover to really pound it, go up 14-0, and then you struggle on fourth and inches. You know, you had the catch by Rob Gronkowski in the end zone. That gets called back, gets overturned, and you still didn't pick up the first down. So you had multiple chances down and tight to really put Kansas City behind you, and you didn't do it.
I always look at football like chess. We talk about this a lot. I think that the Patriots got sort of out-chess matched here a little bit early on. They went with the five-man line stuff. We talked about that all through the preseason. But they went small, right? So it was kind of a cute package that they'd played around with in Detroit in the preseason. They used a safety on the edge of the line as your edge player. So that was either Jordan Richards or Patrick Chung. And they went after him at that. And when you do that and you have everyone down around the line, you're a little small on your edges, and you also only have one player on the second level. So your middle linebacker is Kyle Van Noy, who's usually an outside guy. To me, it was sort of a weird configuration of the parts that they have and what the Chiefs did a great job of taking advantage of. When you only have one off-the-ball guy right over center, crossing routes, because there's no one to reroute routes. There's no one to pick up stuff. So it has to be snatched right away, or that's where the vulnerability is. Every defense has a vulnerability, and the Chiefs did a great job of saying, well, if you're going to sit in that, we're going to run this, and they complete a lot of balls.
And, Matt, you're talking about a defense that allowed the unprecedented 42 points given up by a Bill Belichick defense, over 500 yards, and Alex Smith with a career game in his 13th season as the Kansas City quarterback.
You got to give Andy Reid credit. I mean, he brought that team here, not a single person. This game has been talked about since the offseason. That schedule came out, and everybody's like, oh, they got Kansas City week one. That's going to be an easy one. Well, that was not an easy football game. Andy Reid coached his tail off, and Alex Smith played his tail off.
Well, I would say one of the really disappointing things, the walk away. You led with how they started the game. It's how they ended it, and I think that really directed some of the commentary from both Coach Belichick and Tom Brady. They talked about attitude. They talked about we didn't coach well, play well, really execute well in anything. And that's pretty accurate, because as bad as it was and ragged, and remember, the Chiefs had like 15 penalties, so it's not like they were playing clean football either, right? So both teams were a little bit ragged, and we talked of all the other missed opportunities.
But you're going to be ragged in week one.
It's week one. Everyone expects
the element of surprise.
Everyone expects it. But then with 20-ish minutes left to go, Patriots trail by four points and have the ball at midfield. So a lot of the real problem, the reason they're having sort of the bad taste next morning kind of thing, is how they finish. And we don't usually see that here. There was some really non-competitive defensive series to end the game and some protection issues that were not a problem for three quarters. They just didn't finish. And I think that's the attitude portion that Tom's talking about. They feel like they got the people in the room. I agree with that. But that wasn't a very good showing at the time it counts.
Which I think is interesting, because it's really the opposite of that game in Kansas City several years ago, and the Patriots used it as a turning point, because Bill Belichick at the end of the Super Bowl 49 season said he knew his team had fight in it the way it continued to give an effort in the second half of that game. Last night, we didn't see that.
If you're throwing the football 40 yards downfield on third and eight, and that's your lone conversion, and if you're not hitting that, you're punting the football away and you're saying the game's over. That's not the Patriots we knew out there. He knows that team fought, because he said after that Super Bowl that we knew we were going to be okay. I'm not too sure right now he's thinking they're going to be okay, given it's week one.
If you don't play well in week out, you'll be either deactivated or they'll go get somebody else. So I think those kind of messages resonate. When you're going to go into the guys and say, hey, this isn't how it works here. Hey, I'm under contract. I'll be here till February. Work it out then. No, these guys will cut you, and they'll go find someone who'll play better, or you'll lose your role.
Not to say anybody's going to get cut or lose their job, but yeah. 70-yard plays, 92-yard drives. Can't have it. Can't have it for Matt Patricia defense.
We talked about long drives against the Patriot defense. They want teams to drive long. And last night, Kansas City got the big plays, but it also had a 1st-and-14 deep in its own end late in the second quarter before the half, and they wound up scoring a touchdown to draw within 3.
The situational coaching, they did everything that the Patriots usually do. They won the opening coin toss. They deferred. They got it the second half. They ended up getting the ball back with 4 minutes left in the first half. 2-score game. What'd they do? They drove it down and scored. That was a 3-point game at the half. So you're sitting there thinking, we've had a chance to put this team away, and there they are hanging. They played the exact type of game, same kind of game plan they tried to play in here 2 years ago. Burn that clock, churn that clock up, keep the score close in the fourth, and see what happens.
I think there are several players defensively that can play better roles. There are better positions for them, better things that they can do. The other thing that was way out of character here that I think is really unusual is you go back and see not a single field goal attempt by Kansas City. That's usually a terrible sign. That means you didn't stop anyone in the red zone. You just allowed people to plow right through.
They went into the game 2 weeks removed from losing Edelman. Yeah. During the game, they lost Amendola. They lost Malcolm Mitchell just before the game, officially placed on injured reserve. Dante Hightower goes down. Those are all critical pieces for them on both sides of the ball. And you have Philip Dorsett playing more probably offensively than anticipated. Cassius Marsh gets beaten on one of those big plays down the field against Hunt.
No
He's
safeties.
A guy who's been with the Patriots for less than a week. So how do they move forward and correct and address some of those issues with some of these new pieces in place?
The coach, and that's what they were good at doing. Think about this. It was opening day roster of 46 people. There were 4 players out there that had not yet played a live snap for the Patriots. 4 on a game day roster. That's really unusual around here. So I kind of felt for Cassius Marsh. You know, he's a situational rusher, a guy they were really pumping him out there for that role, for getting up the field. And what did he do on his first day here? You know, just fresh off the boat, arrive in Foxborough, get a couple practices in and playing a live game. And he's a pass dropper most of the day. So he looked a little uncomfortable. He looked like, this isn't what I usually do. And you get caught in a long play like that, they're going to go back and say, well, don't put that guy in that position again. He's good. That's why we got him, but maybe not for that particular role.
The best thing about being around this coaching staff, next week, we're going to go to New Orleans. You're not going to see that same thing. Yeah. They're going to adapt. They're going to be able to tweak this thing. And they will get better.
But Andy Reid and his staff deserve a great deal of credit. They were able to more or less neutralize Rob Gronkowski. And as well, they stayed with Cooks in Hogan and didn't give them a lot of separation down the field.
No, they didn't. And I don't know if it's going to come down to pick routes. You know, we didn't see any pick routes last night. Tried to see a couple screens set up. What concerns me is the amount of verticals that they ran. And maybe that's something that they saw against Kansas City. I thought there was a lot of single high safety. If that safety's in the middle, you're going to try and get your shooters right up those seams. The problem is you didn't hit any.
I think the Chiefs did a much better job of adjusting in-game. If you look at that first couple drives of the Patriots, they were smoking the defense. This was, you know, it felt like the celebratory, hey, you know, this is another Patriots year. They're just going to walk through people. Kind of felt that way myself. But they adjusted much better. And some of the things that happened after that point, that's the stuff that counts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We came for the unveiling of the 5th championship banner after the first series or so. Thought we might be ready for the 6th. Not so fast, but still, this is a team that we know will make adjustments before New Orleans. We'll talk about that game next week in detail. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more with an overview of the NFL right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jacob Hollister, the 6'4", 239-pound tight end played at the University of Wyoming. In his first action on the Gillette Stadium turf, the 23-year-old displayed the skills needed to make the Patriots. Hollister led the team with 7 catches for 116 yards in the preseason game against the Jaguars. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
And a upon return to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, time for a new segment as we introduce Bank Shots with NFL insider and friend Don Banks. Don, glad to have you aboard.
Pretty witty, huh? Thanks,
I love it. You called it. Let's start with coaching.
Yeah.
The hot seats in the NFL. There are a number of coaches. Todd Bowles in New York comes to mind that we know go into this season in a precarious spot. Who's the surprise to you, or at least to us, that you may have your eye on this year as a coach who, in particular, is on the hot seat?
Well, Bob, in the AFC North, everyone's going to look at Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati working in the last year of his deal. I'm looking at John Harbaugh, 31-33 since they won the Super Bowl, missed the playoffs 3 out of 4. More importantly, all these injuries already this offseason and preseason, if this team gets off to a slow start, look for the pressure to build 3 straight years without the playoffs, contract extension or no contract extension, the seat will get hot.
The Steelers went through training camp and preseason without Le'Veon Bell. What's the impact for Pittsburgh?
Well, I think they're going to throw the ball more early in the season. I really think Ben Roethlisberger and the receivers will have to carry the load, let Bell kind of round into shape. But keep in mind, they're 11-5 the last 2 years that he's missed because of either suspensions or injuries. So they're used to playing without him. They obviously need James Conner, their rookie running back, to step up and carry the load in September.
Meanwhile, the Steelers addressed a problem in the defensive backfield by acquiring Joe Hayden, the former Brown.
He's a good man-to-man defender. He's not the same player he was 3 or 4 years ago, but they know that. It's just pretty weak back there. Russ Cockrell probably loses his cornerback job. I like Hayden just because he gives them a little bit more matchup strength when they meet a certain team from New England.
Again, with Trevor Siemian, a quarterback, the Denver Broncos, is he good enough in year two as the starter there to get Denver where it wants to be?
No. He's a safe pick, but his ceiling is just only so high, and that's why they were hoping Paxton Lynch would win that job, but he clearly failed in the preseason competition. I think Denver's not a playoff team for the second straight year. I think this is a team that is just, yes, they have defense. They don't have that great shutdown defense of 2 years ago.
Darrelle Revis was here back in 2014. Some speculated he might come back after being let go by the Jets, but it was a rough year for him in 2016.
Yeah, he's clearly not the player he once was. I still think the Giants make an awful lot of sense for him because, first of all, secondary is their weak link, but they think they're Super Bowl bound. They love to collect ex-Jets, like Brandon Marshall, Damon Harrison, Geno Smith. So I think I'm looking at the Giants first and foremost. Secondly, the Cowboys, if they continue to struggle a little bit in the secondary. So put them in the NFC East, far, far away from the Patriots.
Not a bad guy if you want to win the back pages of the tabloids.
Absolutely.
Don, just the start. Looking forward to your insights all season long.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks so much. Don Banks with his Bank Shots. We'll continue with more as Matt Chatter and Scott Zolak rejoin me after this on Patriots This Week.
Time now for the Zoe Show. Boy, do I got a show planned for you. No running backs, no receivers, no silly quarterbacks. We're going to take a look at some championship trophies. Here it is. Kickoff night for the 2017 season. Boy, those are beautiful. 5 Lombardi trophies. We're going for 6, folks. Here comes the owner, RKK. He's got trophy number 5. He's going to make his way to the stage with some very popular Patriots, some Patriot Hall of Famers, by the way. Kevin Falk, you're going to see him first. Followed by Matt Light. There's my man, Deion Branch. Here's a guy that had one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history, Julian Edelman. Now, the banners had to be moved. The old banners, I say. 800 pounds each. Had to extend the scoreboard up to fit that 5th banner. And if I take a close look, it looks like we just got enough room for 2 more banners. So, Patriots didn't do well score-wise on opening night, but I think everything prior to that game, everybody had a good time.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
And welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue on Patriots This Week with a look at the AFC East. And guys, the Pats try to make it 9 consecutive division titles. And the other teams try to make it interesting. The Dolphins lost Ryan Tannehill, but Jay Cutler steps in.
Yeah.
Unretired now, out of the broadcast booth before he ever went into it, and reunited with Adam Gase.
It's the perfect pickup for them. I know he was in the booth. I know that people think he cashes in at times, but if they could find lightning in a bottle and surround him with good people, I like the perimeter people. I like the back of Jai. And Bob, you know what I think about their defensive front. I mean, you watch the way they get after Tom Brady. They have some athletes, and for whatever reason, I like Miami. I do. I think they're trending in the right direction. I like the way the program's heading.
I like what Cutler does for Devontae Parker. I think he's really the guy that'll sort of take a step forward. Jarvis Landry, we have a lot of respect for that guy, just how tough he is and how productive he is. But Devontae, he's been a vertical guy. He's looked good sort of paired with Jay. That said, expect the mistakes. I think we know that's going to come at some point. I would say the greater issue, though, is if I'm looking specifically at the Dolphins, go back to the last couple games of the season, especially that playoff game against Pittsburgh. They walked through that defense. Now, they had a safety that's very important for them down, linebacker issues with health and things like that. But if I was sort of evaluating whether or not they're going to make up ground on the Patriots, isn't about if the offense improves. It's if they can stop someone. Tackling in the secondary, tackling at the second level. Yeah, they can pass rush, but can they stop the run? Yeah. I think that's their biggest issue.
And say what you want from a scheduling standpoint, too. Going down airplane on a Monday night, South Florida, weird things happen down there. Divisional opponent. You know that team, and we've been in that spot before. Miami's going to give you some problems.
I'm always leery of those teams, though, that get into the playoffs, and they were maybe actually a notch below that. I mean, a couple nice close wins. I think this is a team that could go back before they go forward. Okay.
So in the case of Miami, we've got a team that expects to be in contention. Let's face it, the Bills, the Jets, those are teams in another rebuild mode,
right.
Really more in contention for a top draft pick, and maybe Sam Darnold or a quarterback of that caliber coming out of the college ranks. But the Bills have really changed the culture dramatically, and the personnel gone. Stephon Gilmore to the Pats, Ronald Darby traded away. They got rid of Sammy Watkins. So Sean McDermott setting a new tone with Brandon Bean as the new GM there.
This is a team that fired their GM after the draft.
Right.
You fire GMs before the draft. You want the new GM to come in and pick his guys. I just think Buffalo is taking a major step back this year. And it's sad because I thought Buffalo had talent. You know, we go up to some of those games up there. Orchard Park, tough place to play. They still got the best fans in the league, I think. You know, they know how to tailgate because that's all they have up there.
Tyrod Taylor and his fit with the sort of the people they put around him. You mentioned they put Sammy Watkins sort of out, but then Jordan Matthews comes in, a big, tall, you know, maybe 50-50 ball kind of guy. He still has McCoy, so I think this is going to be a run-first offense from the quarterback and running back position. But is there enough there to challenge in this division? No, I wouldn't see it.
I'm just really excited. We're like two segments into the show. He hasn't used any big words yet.
We're small.
Yeah, I mean, I know everything he's saying.
It's early in the
year. This is good. Times last year, I get a little waft. But yeah, so we're in it.
Well, let's talk about the New York Jets. I don't know what adjective you can use to describe the Jets' offense in its current state.
Awful's a good word. Yeah.
Defense still good up front, especially. But when you look at that offense, Josh McCown's going to be the quarterback. He's got a couple of guys in Hackenberg and Petty who will go into the regular season, presumably as the backups there. But not much else in that Jets offensive array.
Seems like they've got three of the same guys at the signal caller position. It's like whether it's McCown, whether it's Petty, whether it's Hackenberg. I love Hackenberg when he was at Penn State. Who do you have at Penn State, though? Billy O'Brien. See, again, the position of quarterback is so dependent upon good coaching in this league. Just don't know if those kids are getting it down there.
Anunua was going to be the guy. Anunua gets hurt. You know, we know Brandon Marshall leaves. Yeah, we know Brandon Marshall leaves. Basically, you have to feel bad for the head coach because he came in from Arizona as a guy that was pretty well revered. And, hey, this guy might be able to turn this program around. And all of a sudden, his roster is, you know, one-third of an NFL roster.
When you go to the Jets, you know the situation you're getting into.
So you guys don't expect either the Bills or Jets to pose much of a problem. Dolphins perhaps in contention. We'll get to Matt and Scott's predictions for the rest of the AFC and NFL when we come back right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
Week one, now behind the Patriots. Of course, 15 more games to go for the defending Super Bowl champions. And Scott Zolak, as you project what's about to unfold this weekend and the rest of the season in the National Football League, how do you see things playing out?
I think there's a couple constants, Bob. Obviously, I still think even after that game last night, New England's going to be pretty good. They're going to win the AFC East. Pittsburgh is still going to be there in the AFC North. They're a tough team. They got Le'Veon Bell back. They still have Ben Roethlisberger. They should be able to get there into that first round. I look at the South. I like Houston. I just think the Colts have too many problems with Andrew Luck's injury. I like Houston's tenacity on defense. Out West, everybody's picking Oakland. Don't forget about Kansas City. You know, we saw them in person, and they came in and popped you week one. Long-range picture, I'm going to take Houston at New England AFC Championship.
Long-range picture, the biggest question is health for me because I think we saw a first game where you start to lose a few very important bodies. A few more very important bodies changes the script entirely. The one thing I will look for is presuming improved health. and the Patriots, they're in this thing again. I would presume they're still the best team in the AFC over the course of 16.
And in the short range, the Pats got to go to New Orleans next weekend. We're going to talk about that, of course. We get back together, so I mean, you guys stay in good health.
Great.
Scott Zolak, Matt Chatham, thanks so much. And thank you for watching. We'll talk to you again next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.